You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Everybody, thank you for joining us. We're back on a Monday morning. Sorry we missed Friday. Tim, it's been a minute. It's been a while. We're back, but everything's better. All is right in the world. We took a brief hiatus because I decided to just absolutely evacuate every inch of food in my body on Thursday night. And it was a tough run. I tried to, you know, soldier through it on Friday. And then I couldn't do it. And I went home on Friday morning after I dropped the kids off at school and I slept all day. Literally put my head on the pillow at like 8:15 a.m. And I did not get off the bed until like 5 p.m. And I slept the whole way through. Woke up, did not eat dinner, said hello to everybody. Went back to bed again and just slept right through the night. I was just out for the count. I don't know what happened. So back though. We're back and better than ever.
Glad to hear it. It sounds like not a fun thing. I've never gotten one of those flu bugs people talk about. Like 24 hours, they just get sick and throw up and they describe it. I'm like, I feel like I'm missing out. It just never happened to me.
Get some kids. They're just like walking Petri dishes and they just bring home stuff nonstop. So I've gotten them the last few years a hand and they're not bad. I used to fight off vomiting. This is it's a really gross start to the show. I apologize, but I used to fight it. Now I embrace it. Like, bring it on. Let's get this over with. You know, I used to lay in bed and do deep breathing exercises. Like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But now I'm just like, let's go. I'll go sit and just wait by the toilet. I'm like, let's go. Let's get this over with. Come on. I gotta get to bed. We got stuff to do in the morning. But it was that's why we didn't do it on Friday. I apologize. We had a lot of stuff lined up, but c'est la vie. You know, I can't control my body. You know, I gotta listen to it. And it was a good choice. So we're back. I had a funny thing happen to me this weekend, Tim. It was a realization of just how terrible kids are, how mean they are, and how old I am. It was a very just eye-opening, sobering, sad almost kind of situation. I was sitting in the chair. It was Sunday. We had just gotten back from church. We like to kind of hang out as a family on Sundays and just chat and whatever. And it was great. We were talking about life, this and that, nothing too deep. But my oldest kind of comes in behind me. She's standing right beside me. So her head is like just above my head level. And she starts touching the top of my head. She goes, "Dad, why is there no hair like right up here?" And like, as a guy, you guys know, you're not aware of what's going on the top of your head. You just assume there's hair up there. I've always had hair. I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she's like, "Yeah, there's hair like none of it's up here." And she like puts her hand. It's like a big spot. I'm like, "You little brat." I'm like, "Oh God, get out of here." I'm like, "You're being mean to Dad. It's not nice." And I'm just like, "Boy, I'm getting old." It's just, they're just so honest, but so incredibly mean at the same time.
Was it mean? Did she know
no,
what you were saying?
No, but that's the thing. I was just like, I turned to her. I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I'm getting older." And I said, "Just so you know, that's kind of mean. Like, you're kind of hurting Dad's feelings a little bit." And she goes, "Why?" I'm like, would it feel good to tell you don't have any hair on the top of your head?" She's like, "No, I wouldn't like that." Cause even our younger kids will like, "Well, this, how was your day?" And they're like, "Well, someone got hurt at school, hurt or tripped." And I'm like, "Oh, what happened? What did they look like?" And one of our twins goes, "Well, she's really fat." I'm like, "You can't say that. You could, like, they're just so black and white, you know, they don't mean anything bad by it, but it's just like, you have to, words carry a lot of weight, no pun intended." But so yeah, that was just, it was not a great weekend. And then to top it off, we had our playoff game for men's league last night, and I wasn't feeling great. I still haven't really eaten a full meal since the bar fest on Friday. I went through all of Saturday, just slept through Saturday, and we played Sunday. I wasn't feeling 100%. We didn't have a goalie. Our goalie just MIA dusted us. He's gone in Florida somewhere in flight school. Didn't tell anybody. So we used the goalie from the game before us who won, who was going to play us in the finals had we won. So he had an interest in the game that night. He's like, I'm going to do my best, you guys, but I just finished like a really hard fought game. And now if you guys win, you're going to play me tomorrow or next week and you guys are good. So maybe he let in some weak ones. And I don't know the mental mindset there, but he seemed like a pretty genuine guy, but we lost.
No,
we lost. We went down. It was just, it wasn't great. We got beat, I think 6-0.
Really?
Oh, we got just, I had so many chances. I could not, I was ripping clappers like it was my job. And they were like, honestly, 90, 92, 95 miles an hour, just over the net. Just if it would have hit somebody, it would have killed them. And I was just had no regard for safety. I could not hit the net. I could not hit the net. It was driving
low,
me nuts.
John. You got to keep it low, low and hard.
I can't. You know, I kept it low all season. I think my adrenaline got the better of me and I was just firing away. And our biggest problem is our forwards can't score. We have a good defensive group. We got a good four defense. I say it in the locker room all the time, so this is not news to anybody on my team, Jolly Pumpkin. Got to get some forwards who can finish. You know, we're going to have to make some tough decisions in the offseason. And, you know, that's I shoulder a lot of that weight. So we'll see what happens. I said, don't call us. We'll call you. So we're going to see. I think we might just run it back. You know, I don't want to be the bad guy, but yeah, we're out, Tim. We're out.
Are we blaming this goalie in Florida? Because you can blame it on him.
But Tyler, he would have made a difference. The first three goals that we let in were all terrible goals. One goal was the ice was bad, and I went to like get the puck, and I missed it. And the guy had a guy forechecking me, and he just poked it. And it just like slowly went into the net. I'm like, where is our goalie? The next goal was a fluttering shot from the point, just like the guy's first goal of his life, flutters into the net. And the third goal was our guy kicked it in, like literally from the hash marks. It came fluttering in, and he like went off his shin pads through our goalie's leg. It was just the first three were brutal. That was within the first like 4 minutes. I'm like, ugh. And then we outplayed him for a period, two periods, and their goalie played great. And then we just kind of gave up at the end of the game. They scored one in the power play and was like, ah, we're done. What are you going to do? You can't win them all, Tim. You know what I mean? You can't win them all. And then I can't drink on Sundays because they gave up alcohol for Lent and couldn't even have a beer after the game. So.
Will you guys get together for like a end of season party? Are you seeing?
I won't. I don't like hanging out with those guys outside of the rink. So I'm sure they might as a team, but I won't go. Nice. I told them that. I said, this is my hockey team. This is where it stays. And they're okay with it. And that's fine. I'm sure some of them will get together and have like a little end of season gathering. I'm not going. Then that's, you know, I've made that perfectly clear. And they don't want me to go. It's not like I'm the fun guy in the locker room. Whatever. So that was my weekend. Not great. I hope everybody else had a way better weekend than I did. It was just one thing after. How was your weekend, Tim?
Oh, it was fine. It was fine. Nothing that exciting. You know
what? How's the dating life? How's the dating life treating you?
It's fine. Charlotte this year has the first ever MLS team in town. It was like an expansion team or something. They won the bid a couple of years ago. It got delayed because of COVID.
Is that the soccer?
Soccer.
Okay.
Saturday night they had their opening night, the first in the Carolina Panthers football stadium, only a couple blocks away from me. And they broke the record for attendance for an MLS game in history. 74,000 people went to this game, which is crazy. Yeah.
Did you go?
No. No, I wasn't there. Good story.
Couldn't get
right?
a ticket.
But that was like the talk of the town this weekend. So, but no, nothing crazy.
So do you like the move? Are you happy with the transition from Traverse City to Charlotte?
Yeah. I mean, I miss Traverse City, but I knew I would. So like, that's not surprising, but yeah, I like it here. It's a cool town.
How are the babes?
They're good. They're better than
fans want to know. I get text messages all the time from fans. What's Tim's dating life like? We're interested.
No, you don't.
No, they don't have my number, but they're interested.
Yeah. No, they can ask me if they want, but
Deirdre wants to know.
Yeah, she does too. That's a fact.
All right. Well, let's get to some hockey news. So I did get a little Twitter buzz this weekend, Tim. There was a little conversation between old friend of the show, Revo, Ryan Reeves, and old teammate of mine, Steve Ott, one of the best pests to have ever played the game, kind of molded the role, really kind of redefined it. So they had a conversation on the bench. Steve Ott is the assistant coach of the St. Louis Blues, won a Stanley Cup with them, very successful coach post hockey career. Good for him. And Ryan Reeves, obviously local tough guy for the New York Rangers. He does his thing at the red line, sprays the water bottle, does the LeBron James where he spits water. He's got a whole production now. It's amazing how it's progressed. Like when I played against him, he was very scared to even lift his head because those were the days when you had like legit tough guys roaming the ice and he would just go about his business. He would stretch. He wouldn't look up. He was very reserved. He has just grown as the theatrics are amazing. So he was doing his things with the waters. He's spraying it. He's spitting it. He's doing it in his face. He's making rainbows. He's just making it rain. So him and Otter are having this conversation. I don't know. Do you know it better than I do? I saw it once, but it was a pretty funny conversation.
Yeah. And it started recording like halfway through. So who knows what they were saying before. But he was just like, Otter was just like, yeah, Revo, you in the fourth line still? So I think they put in the fourth line together in St. Louis years ago.
They did. Yes.
And Reeves just like, yeah, you're looking old, man. You're looking old. Come out and skate. No John Scott to hide behind this time, which I think is it's a nice little stick tap. I know you hate that term for you, but it's a nice little compliment.
There was a lot to kind of break down from his conversation. Otter won the argument when he said, what's your name?
Turn around.
I can't turn around. I can't see your name, which was hilarious. I love that chirp. It just is absolutely demoralizing, but it's so effective. It's like, are you new here? What's your name? The best guy who's ever done it was Brad Richards was chirping Tom Sestito. There's this classic clip. You can find it on YouTube. Brad Richards is calling Tom Sestito. He's like, have fun at fantasy camp, bud. You'll be back in the minors tomorrow. Like, have fun. Like, it was just so, and it's so true. You can see it's Tom Sestito's face. It just sinks because you're speaking facts. And the guys have said that to me too. It's like, bud, you're going to be like, anyways, that's a whole other thing. But yes, he destroys Reeves with that. The fact that Revo said, and I'm not one to toot my own horn, but it does speak to a larger problem with the NHL or not, maybe not a problem, but how the league has changed where Steve Ott did hide behind me and that's okay. That was my job. It was my job to make sure guys like Steve could go out and do what they do. Yes, he was a rat. I wanted him to be the rat. We had Nathan Gerby on the show. I said, Nathan, go do whatever you want. I want you to cross-check guys, slash guys. I want you to spit in guys' faces. I want you to do whatever you want because you can. And that was my job. And before games, I would tell Steve Ott the same thing. I'm like, Steve, carte blanche, scorched earth, do whatever you want because no one will touch you. And he did that in Buffalo when we played together for 2 years. He did whatever he wanted. Patty Coletta did whatever he wanted. Not that Patty needed me to tell him, dude, that guy was an absolute animal. He would do anything whenever he wanted to. But that's what the tough guy does. He lets everybody on his team just do whatever they want. You're a skill guy. Go score goals. You don't have to worry about anything. You're a rat. Go be the dirtiest, greasiest rat you've ever dreamed about being in your whole entire life. I started playing with Cal Clutterbuck. He cut his teeth with me and Derek Boogaard. That guy would go out and try to murder people because he knew he had me and Boogie in his back pocket if someone would even come and breathe on him. We'd go up and destroy these guys. So I was very happy that he said that. It was a huge compliment to me, a little pat on my back because Ryan Reeves is a tough guy. He's the toughest guy in the NHL right now. There's a conversation to be had about that. For him to say that, to say, you know what, Johnny Scott's not on the ice, he definitely thought about that when he played us. So it's just, I'm like, okay, thank you, Revo. And I think we miss more of that in the game today. That's why you see guys maybe going a little bit outside themselves. And they play a little bit more greasier because there's nobody who's going to stand in and say, you know what, let's not do that. There's nobody to pay the Pied Piper if someone goes out and lays a dirty hit. I know fighting is up, so maybe I'm wrong. But I think the NHL maybe misses that just a little bit. People get on Revo about talking to Otter. I saw some of the comments like, Revo's a joke. I loved it when fans would chirp me. Absolutely loved it because you're doing your job right. So anybody who's like mad at Ryan Reeves for what's going on, it's like he's doing his job. You know what I mean? He's going to play 5, 6, 8 minutes that night. He's talking to his buddy. I'm sure it was all fun and they had a good laugh after the game about it, but it was a nice guy, a little compliment to me. I enjoyed it.
And Ott knew it too. He had nothing to say to that line. Like there was no quick reply there.
Yeah. Because it's the truth.
Right.
Like Steve, like and he would be the first one to say, yeah, I know I don't have Johnny here. So I'm not going to jump on the ice and try to, you know, do this, my shtick. So it was, that was funny. It was nice to, I haven't played in the league in 5 years. I'm still got a little pull out there, Timmy. It was nice.
Yeah, that was a cool little moment. We got tagged.
All right, let's get to a cooler moment. There's something happening in Dallas, Tim. Why don't you tell us what's going on out there?
Yeah, so Jason Robertson, if you've ever heard of him, he scored a hat trick in back-to-back games this weekend. Consecutive games, 3 goals each, which is like, I guess Ovechkin had done that once before, but I think it's been many years since that happened. I didn't see the stat in front of it, but yeah, really, really cool. We never really talk about him, but Jason Robertson, he won the Rookie of the Year, was it last year or the year before? He has 100 points in 101 games played in his career. So basically a point per game guy. He's got 54 and 47 this year, which will project out to just about 90 points in a full season. Really, really talented. Going to be a superstar in the making, I think. He's 22, still on his entry-level contract, and he's an RFA this summer. I mean, he's going to get paid, right? What do you expect to be paid if you're him this summer?
Well, boy, if you're clipping along at a point per game at that age.
22 years old.
And no offense. Listen, no offense to Joe Pavelski and Rupe Hintz. He's not playing with high end guys. They just have a lot of good chemistry, those three. Jason Robertson's, he should be getting $7 to $10 million a year. Don't you think? He's producing. He has carried this Dallas Stars team to a playoff position where they have no business being in this position based on the fact that Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, Radulov, Faska, Gurianov, all these guys have struggled. You've had the John Klingberg saga where he wants out, he wants to be traded, this and that. There's a lot of bad vibes going around Dallas right now. And that first line of Pavs, Rupe, and Robertson, has just carried this team throughout the whole season. And if I'm Robertson, I want a Pedersen deal. I want $7-8 million. I'm worth it. He's better than Pedersen. He's getting a point per game, and he's not even like, he doesn't even have the best line mates. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think, or is it just a product of maybe getting the opportunity because he's been given first line power play minutes? He's been getting first line minutes just because those guys that I just mentioned haven't been producing. And it's kind of, he's been forced into that role.
Well, he reminds me of Sebastian Aho a little bit, even though he's only 2 years younger. So maybe it's not the best comparison. He's actually outproducing Aho's first couple seasons. And yeah, I think it's a little bit of a product of, you know, there's so many big star names on the Dallas Stars that maybe get more attention when you're game planning. And he's been able to fly under the radar a little bit compared to, like, even though Benn, Seguin, Radulov haven't been producing as much the last couple of years, Pavelski, Hintz, Gurianov, like, there's some firepower on that team. And maybe Robertson's been able to fly under the radar and surprise some people. Maybe he's in the first line this year, but maybe he's getting some more favorable matchups over the course of these 101 games that he's played. So, yeah, but I think it's legit. I think it's legit. I think he's a legit superstar in the making. I think he can keep this up. And I think he could be I hope he stays in Dallas. I think he will. And I hope he is the future of this franchise. And I think it's a good thing because I just seem like Dallas has so many older players and bad contracts. You think they're going the way of the Capitals or the Blackhawks or whatever, but then you got this guy coming up and now it's like, okay, they've got a really secure future both now and 5-10 years down the road.
Well, the issue with the Dallas Stars is Joe Pavelski is their best player at this point. Robertson, yes, he's doing well. Joe Pavelski is their best player. He's 37 years old, and he's a UFA after this season. Robertson is an RFA. They still have two titanic contracts with Seguin and Jamie Benn. They have a bad contract in Radek Faska. What do you do? You're right up against the cap as it is. How do you fit everybody under the cap? How do you make Robertson happy? I don't see it working. You still have to deal with John Klingberg at the end of the deadline. Do you try to trade him, get something back for him, or do you re-sign him in the offseason, or do you just let him walk? There's a lot of issues that need to be sorted out with the Dallas Stars right now, and it's going to be very tricky. Robertson, rightfully so, should probably make $7 million+, or he could do a bridge deal just to get to his UFA year in 25, so maybe do a 3-year deal for a little less term. It's going to be very, very tricky how Jim Neal still the GM there? I don't know. But it'll be tricky how Jim Neal works this because
yes,
those two – how many times do we say this? It seems like it becomes a broken record. These bad contracts end up just handcuffing yourself for years, years, and years. And I know no one – anticipated the pandemic. No one anticipated this frozen cap, but man, these $9 million contracts that these Dallas Stars are saddled with, Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn, good players, right? They have not scored to their level. I want to say, let's look at Jamie Benn. The guy makes $9.75 million, $9.85 million a year. What do you think a guy who makes that much money should get? How many points should he get a year? Jamie Benn, almost $10 million. What should he get?
Yeah, at least close to a point per game. He's got a pretty rounded out game, the leadership, the physical aspect. So if he scored like 70, 75, I'd be okay. But he should be at least that number minimum.
He hasn't scored close to a point per game since 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
He's been a complete disappointment. And I know he brings other intangibles to the game. He's physical. He fights. He's got the leadership. He brings those other tools to the rink. And I get that. But when you're making almost $10 million, you can't go out this year and have 55 games in, you got 31 points. You can't last year have 52 games and get 35 points. You can't go out the year prior and get 69 games and have 39 points. You can't get a full season the year before that and get 53 points. It's not acceptable. When you're the face of the franchise, when you're the captain of the team, you have to produce more. When you're Tyler Seguin, you're brought into Dallas to bring us the Stanley Cup. You're making $9.85 million a year. You can't go out and lay an egg. Yes, he got hurt last year. I get that. This year, he's got 31 and 54. He's dash 11. The year before that, he got 50 and 69. The year before that, he had an okay year per point per game. But for the last 3 years, their top two guys have just laid massive eggs on the ice. And you can't win, especially in the salary cap era that we're living in, when your two top guys who eat up $20 million are just invisible. It's absolutely invisible. So I know Jim Nill, he's going to have to work some magic because these guys are not going away. Tyler Seguin is signed through 26-27. 2026-2027. He's only 30 years old, but still, that's a lot of time. He's getting 12% of the cap. Jamie Benn's not going away until 24-25, so it's tricky. And then Joe Pavelski, do you re-sign him, Tim? I know they've had conversations. He's 37. How long can he keep just beating away Father Time? Like, the guy is just playing out of his mind, and he's 37 years old.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm him, I want to be traded, but I might come back to Dallas just because he's been outspoken about how much he loves not just being on that team, but the city itself, and his family's there. His kids love it. So I don't know.
Joe seems like a guy to me. You know Joe. You've met him. I know Pavs fairly well. I don't think he's driven strictly by winning the Stanley Cup. I think he truly loves hockey, but he really values what his family thinks. He loves his kid. He loves his wife. I think he values that more than winning the Stanley Cup. So if his wife says, hey, I love it here in Dallas, we got a good life, let's stay here, I think he would take that into account and stay in Dallas. I really do, because he loves Dude Perfect. I know his kids do. He loves the no state tax in Dallas. I don't know. He's Captain America. So I think it's a good fit for him in Dallas. But if they don't trade him, I think it's a mistake. I really do. Even if they slip into the playoffs in the eighth seed, I don't see these guys making noise in the playoffs. I really don't. Braden Holtby's had a very good year, but they have the pieces, Dallas. They have the pieces. I like Heiskanen. I like Lindell. I like some of the pieces they have on the front end with Robertson. They just need to get rid of some of the older guys. You know, get rid of Radulov, Benn and Seguin. If you can get rid of one of those contracts, that would be great. But, they have some good things happen. I like Gurianov. I don't mind him. So, I don't know. But, yes, Robertson, why we're here in the first place. Very good. He's going to sign for 7 at least. Maybe for 6 for 3 years or 7 for a longer term, 6-7 years. We'll see how it goes. But, yes, he deserves it. And I like this quote about it, where reporters like, what's it like, two hat tricks in a row, first time since this and this. And he goes, yeah, it's pretty neat. It's like, pretty cool, man. Like, very humble. I like that. You don't see that very often. People are usually like, yeah, I should have had 4. I'm like, bud, like, let's pump the brakes here. But yeah, I love Dallas. I hope they do good. You know why I love Dallas?
Why?
We always did our rookie parties in Dallas because they have the best steakhouses there, Tim. The best grade A prime steak. And you know what? You can get beautiful steaks delivered to your door with DoorDash if you live in Dallas. I'm not even kidding you. They will go to the most swankiest restaurants. If you order DoorDash, they'll say, I got a DoorDash order. Let's go ding dong. Like, we can go to Morton's. We can go to what? I can't remember what they're called. It's been a while. But yes, use DoorDash if you're in Dallas. Get some nice primo filet mignons. What's your steak of choice, Tim?
Yeah, filet. I'm not a huge steak guy, though. I know it's
really food? What's your poison when you want to get, when you want to treat yourself?
Yeah, just a big, like, I don't know, chicken, pasta, something like that. I like steak. It's not a thing for me the way it is for some people. They're like, oh, I'm going to get a really nice steak to celebrate this thing. It's just, I don't enjoy it more than other things, I guess.
Have you ever had like a really nice steak?
I mean, I've never been to like, yeah, like paid $100 for a plate type of place, but no, I guess not. Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
Maybe you haven't, because there's something to be said about just a beautifully cooked. And I don't like a filet. I like a nice ribeye or a strip, because you get a little more meat, a little more bang for your buck. It's delicious. Nice fat, nice grizzle, nice sear, medium pink in the middle. It's delicious. But anyways, DoorDash. Get it if you're in Dallas. Dial them up. Use our promo code GlovesDDUS if you're in Dallas. GlovesDD if you're in Canada. They get great steakhouses in Canada. I know they do. But you can use it for anything, not just steaks. You can use it for beers. You can use it for groceries. You can use it for gas now, I think. Get them to fill up a gas can for you. Bring it to your house. DoorDash does pretty much everything. They're expanding every single day. Check it out. They literally, any business, I'm guessing you can use DoorDash now. And you save some money when you use us. It helps us out. So use promo code GlovesDD if you're in Canada, GlovesDDUS if you're in the USA. Get 25% off your first order and free delivery. So check it out. Good company. I love it. I wanted to mention one thing. I have a shout out, Tim. Young kid in the area. He listens to the show. I think he's 12, 13. Roland Blaine plays for Fox Motors Grand Rapids. His dad is like my mortgage guy. And he called me the other day out of the blue. He's like, your mortgage is up. We got to have a conversation. I was like, oh, cool. He's like, my kid loves your podcast. We listen to it when we drive down to Grand Rapids. And it just kind of, you know, it's great to be able to listen to a podcast with me and my son, and not have to worry about, you know, language and content and stuff and that. So that's what we do it for. We do it for the long road trips for the parents and the kids. It's beautiful to see. So thank you, Roland. Appreciate the support. Good luck, Fox Motor, Grand Rapids. Hope you guys have a good, solid season. We really appreciate the support, my friend. All right, Tim, lots to talk about. Lots of little things we need to talk about. We're going to do a couple quick hits, but it's probably going to end up being long hits. So what are we talking about today?
Well, Anthony Mantha returned for the Capitals, which you mentioned it the other day. I didn't really realize it was that close. He was a big player for them. They gave up first. They gave up Verana for him last year. And he's a big impactful player. Good addition to their top six. And obviously he just got hurt. Didn't really work out so far. So it's good that he's back. They're going to need him if they're going to plan on going on a deep playoff run. They've won two in a row.
No, don't. They're not going on a deep playoff run. Let's not lie.
Well, I'm saying if they do, they don't do it without
him. They should not even plan on it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're not doing it without him regardless. And they won two in a row. The whole Columbus thing, I think that's done. Columbus has lost two in a row. The gap is not any bigger than it was last week, or smaller, I mean. So that's good for them.
The race to watch in the East is for the first overall seed. That's the only race to watch for in the East. That's it. To play the Washington Capitals and maybe jockeying for home ice advantage.
Yeah.
Between the Rangers in Pittsburgh and Florida and Toronto. I think the only race right now is between Tampa Bay, Florida, and Carolina. Who's going to get the number one seed? That's it, Tim. Every other race is done. Rangers, Pittsburgh, who cares who has home ice? Honestly, they play each other so often. Who is going to play Toronto in the first round and who is going to play Washington? It's in the, I don't know. It's going to be very, very tricky because, gosh, I would not want to play. If I am Tampa, I do not want to play Boston in the first round. I really don't. I so much rather play Washington. So it's a sprint between those three teams. Who's going to get the first seed? Who's going to get that basically walk through first round win over a sad, pathetic, old, crusty Washington Capitals team? That's what I think everyone's shooting for.
Another cool thing that we've been talking about, all these forwards, these defensemen being available at the trade deadline, where they're going to go. We haven't really touched on the goalies yet. And Marc-Andre Fleury's name has been tossed around a little bit. Some interesting and even conflicting reports over the weekend. So Chris Johnston with TSN said that Fleury is a 10-team no-trade list, but it's believing that the Blackhawks are going to just ask him whether he wants to stay or not. And Fleury told Johnston that he was leaning towards finishing the season with the Blackhawks. Then there was a report another day, I think Saturday, that said it was confirming that, saying, yeah, Fleury's not going anywhere. Another report in response to that saying, actually, the decision hasn't been made yet, despite what this first report is saying. So not clear information going on with Fleury. It's unlikely that he gets dealt. What do you think? Where do you think his mind's at?
I don't understand the reasoning behind him not wanting to get traded. If this is truth, if there's any truth behind this, which there usually is sometimes, whether smoke, there's fire, but I don't know why he wouldn't want to be dealt. Why not? There's obviously teams that are good NHL teams that you have a potential to win the Stanley Cup with that have a need in between the pipes. I don't get it right now, but hey, if he's kind of stuck in his ways and he doesn't want to move, much like Joe Pavelski thing, maybe he just wants to settle down. He's sick of moving around. He likes Chicago. Maybe he wants to stay, but I don't know. There's a lot of goaltenders on the market right now. It's not just him. You can get a serviceable backup. I don't think you can get a guy who's a game changer, like Marc-Andre Fleury, though. He's a guy who you can plug in and he's your 1A. I don't see another guy out there who could lead you to a Stanley Cup. I can see a guy who can come in and be a tandem type goaltender. Maybe a Braden Holtby if he continues a strong play. A Varlamov maybe, but he's got a $5 million cap hit. Maybe Reimer just got hurt. Martin Jones, if you stake it on him. Georgiev, would the Rangers give up on him? Because Shishkin's playing so good. There's a lot of kind of Korpisalo. I don't know. He's the only one. Fleury's the only guy where I could say, I'm going to trade that guy. I'm going to plug him in. He's going to play the whole playoffs, and he's going to give us the best chance to win a Stanley Cup. Every other guy you're going to bring in, he might not be as good as the guy you already have out there. So it's if he's out of the market, if I'm a GM, I'm pretty upset because he's the only guy. If I'm in the Maple Leafs, like, gosh, maybe we should have made a push earlier. But I don't know. We'll see.
They're really the only team that even would be in the market for a goalie that's in a playoff position right now. I don't think every one of these other teams, Carolina, Rangers, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Florida, Boston, they all have their goalies. I guess maybe Washington. And same thing.
No, Washington would. Vanacek's a good goalie. I think teams like Vegas, maybe a team like I was just thinking of it. It was on the tip of my tongue. Never mind. I'll come back to it. But yeah, there are a few teams who could use an insurance marker. Or a guy who come in and push to start, maybe Minnesota Wild, I was thinking. So there are a few teams who could use another body in there. But Toronto, you know, maybe I spoke a little bit too confidently about Jack Campbell. He looked brutal, absolutely brutal last game. I think they won 7-5, but he looked absolutely just terrible. We'll touch on him in a little bit. But yes, that's big news if Fleury doesn't want to move. That really is. And that's a bad break for the Chicago Blackhawks. You could get a lot of return for him. They need some help in the draft. They need some, you know, new blood in the system. They've had a bad season. If they can't get anything for him and he leaves in the offseason, that's a tough break for the Blackhawks.
Speaking of the Blackhawks, they had a cool little thing last week or maybe Friday night where they honored Nicholas Yarmolson, which I thought was pretty cool because he's one of those unspoken just workhorses from those Stanley Cup runs where, you know, the Keats and Seabrooks got kind of all the points and the glory in the back end. But Yarmolson was a key part of that and one of the better shutdown defensemen during that reign. You play with him in Chicago. And what's he like? Any good stories there?
Yeah, Hammer, he was just a steady-as-you-go type guy. Like, he just did whatever you wanted him to do. Not flashy, didn't like to go in the offensive zone, blocked every puck, like just eight pucks like it was his job. I don't know. He was just a funny guy. I just have no real – Tim, I have such a bad memory. I wish I would have kept a diary or something because all these guys, they have these podcasts, they go on these shows, and they can say all these – oh, this story and that story and that story and that story. I can't remember a thing, and I'm just like, the stuff I can remember, I can't talk about on the show. So it's just like – you know what I mean? I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, he's a good guy. Like, he was a good hockey player. He was the definition of a stay-at-home defenseman. And he deserves this to get the type of recognition. He didn't put up the points. He wasn't a sexy defenseman. He just did the things that nobody wants to do. Get in front of a one-timer by Shea Weber. He did it all. Like, without any accolades, he would just do it. You'd throw his hand, his foot, his ankle, his arm, anything he could to get in front of a puck. He would do it because he wanted to win that bad. He took pride and just playing a good sound defensive game. And that's, he was a big reason why they won three cups. He really was. And he's a good defenseman. I'm glad he's getting honored, because a lot of times those guys just get passed over. They look at the Canes, the Taves, the Keiths, the Seabrooks, the Hossas, these guys, the Sharps. He was a big part of those teams, and I'm glad he's getting the due that he's deserved.
Yeah, there's a cool little audio clip from Kaner being asked about him, and he's just like, yeah, he just played through so many injuries. He would just have a puck to the face or something, or some blood squirting out of somewhere where he got cut, and all of a sudden we'd be like, yeah, we think, yeah, Hammer's done for the night. Come back 2 minutes later for another shift. Just couldn't
he was an animal. Yeah, and he would not, like, it's a beautiful thing when someone is injured and they don't complain about it. It shows a lot in their character. I think it's a hard thing to do, because you want people to feel sorry for you. You want to people to recognize that you're playing through something. And he never would do that. He would come in, he would get in the cold tub, he would go through his therapy, and he would just jump on the ice. And he would do it every single night. He had such a strict regimen, and he would not complain about it. You wouldn't hear anything. All of a sudden he might be out of the lineup. You're like, what's wrong with Hammer? Oh, he's had a broken leg since like April. I'm like, whoa, what? It's just a beautiful thing, because a lot of guys, they go in, they make a big show of it. They're in the training room. They're like, oh yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go, like this and that. It's the whole, the theatrics, the circus behind it. It just is annoying and guys hate it. He would not do that. And I really respected him for that, because it takes a lot of just, I don't know. I just really like that about people who don't make it all about themselves. I really, really, because I don't know, maybe I try to be like that, but that's, he's just a good dude. I liked hanging out with him outside of the rink. Good. Yeah. Elena, they live in Sweden now. She's like a fashionista. She's like, well, maybe they got divorced. We should probably shouldn't talk about that. it's sad when they leave the game. It's like, you have to play this game. It's like, is he still together with his wife? Are they divorced? Because there's a pretty high probability that once you leave the game, you're getting divorced. And it's just, it's a stark reality. Marriages, once you leave the NHL, they don't work. It's just, it's really sad, because you see these guys in charity games, like, how's it going? How's the wife? How's the kids? Oh, we got divorced 2 years ago. Like, oh boy, sorry. Like, that's a major bummer, man. It's so bad. And it's just, you know, it is what it is. It's brutal. I don't think anybody should get divorced ever. So I don't know. Anyways, good defenseman, good dude. Liked playing with him. Very well deserved. Is his number getting, did it get raised up into the rafters, or how was he on?
No, I don't think so.
All right. That would be epic. I would be there for that. All right. What else are we talking about?
You mentioned Reimer. He's injured. He's not even day to day. He's week to week, which is a bummer. Not that the Sharks were really playing for anything this season, but he was really one of their only trade pieces. Maybe their only one that had any value. Which is a bummer for them to not really get anything for him at the deadline. So that's too bad.
Did you not forget about Thomas Hertl?
Yeah, but that keeps going back and forth with whether he's going to stay there or not.
I think he's going to go. I think he's going to leave. I've had some, I'm an insider in San Jose, an intimate insider. And I think he's going. I really do. So don't be surprised if he gets moved in the next week. So anyways, he will garner a bounty of goods for the San Jose Sharks if he gets traded. All right. The Bruins, not a bad road trip or coming up. What do you got to say about the Bruins, Tim?
Yeah, they just got back. They played all those West Coast teams, Vegas and LA and Anaheim Sharks, whatever, got 10 out of 12 points. And the one that they lost was on a back-to-back. And that's when Zegras scored with like 10 seconds left in the third period to not force overtime. So they're looking really good. They're feeling really good. 7-2-1 in their last 10. Just wanted to call that out. Really good stretch for them.
Yeah, they're in. They're in the playoffs. They're going to be dangerous. That Eastern Conference is just murderer's row. It's going to be so, so bad. A team that's on the opposite swing, the Minnesota Wild. What has happened to the Minnesota Wild? They are 2-8 in their last 10. They have no continuity. There's nothing there. Kirill Kaprizov is the only player that's plugging along. I guess Jared Spurgeon had a decent February. He had a couple points, but they are just a shell of them former selves. I know Jonas Brodin's been out. I know Kobe Greenway's been out. I know they've had a few injuries, you know, affect them a little bit. What happened to the Minnesota Wild that I predicted would be a Stanley Cup contender a month ago? They have just fallen completely off the map. I know we talked about it last week. Do they need to make a move now? Or is it too late by the time the trade deadline comes around?
I would love to see him make a move now, because you got to right the ship sooner than later. And it's one thing, like, people go through bad stretches during a season. That doesn't necessarily mean this is indicative of how they're going to play in the playoffs. But you lose this much, 2-8. It's it can become a habit real quick. So I think you want to right the ship and build that confidence back as you before the playoffs come, before the trade deadline comes.
Well, don't look now. A month ago, they were sniffing the Colorado Avalanche for first place in the Central. They are on the bubble now of being out of the playoffs. They have 67 points. They've played 54 games. Nashville Predators are in the second wild card position right now. They're 1 point behind the Minnesota Wild. So if they go on this streak, if the streak continues, they'll be out of the playoffs like that. So it's not that far-fetched till we look 2 weeks from now and the Wild are on the outside looking in. And it's like, do you still give up a boatload for Claude Giroux if you're not even guaranteed a position in the playoffs? It's a tough situation. They've played themselves into a spot where the GM might sit on his hands now. I know Billy Guerin likes to make some deals, but you're not going to mortgage the future when you look up and you have to play a Colorado Avalanche in the first round. So I don't know. It's not a good situation in the Wild. They have good players. They can play themselves out of this, but I've said it before and I'll say it again. You have to get your defense healthy. You have to be fully. If we did a little piece on Jonas Brodin, or I think I did, the most underrated players. If he's healthy, I think he's back in the lineup now. He is such a key piece to their team. He makes everything run. I know Jared Spurgeon's a sexy player. I know Matthew Dumba gets a lot of press. Jonas Brodin, when he's in, when he's playing healthy, he is such a big cog to that back end. So anyways, they need to get him back. If he's not healthy, I don't think they make any moves. What else are we talking about?
Interesting quote from Jack Campbell. Like you said, they had a rough stretch again. He's not playing well. His save percentage in his last 17 games is 8.85. Which is just not even like an NHL goalie's number. He got interviewed about this. Obviously, the press in Toronto is pretty heavy. And he said, just he's working on it. He's figuring some things out. And he said, quote, I'll get it back. I promise I will. Do you believe him?
Well, like, I hope, right? Like, I don't know what that means. He obviously, he is self-aware. He knows he's playing bad. That's a good thing. He's aware of the fact that he is struggling. Most goalies would maybe kick the can down the road or pass the buck and say, you know, I haven't been seeing the puck well, or my team's not this and that. He's taking ownership. I like that. Hopefully he gets it back. I don't know. We talked about it last episode, maybe two episodes ago. He's never had a full season of work. Maybe he's just fatigued. He needs some time off. I don't know what the reason is, but he is a good goaltender. We've seen him play at a high level for a long period of time this season. I hope he gets it back. I hope he has a strong finish to this season. I want Toronto to do good. I want them to be competitive. I think it's good when Toronto has a good NHL team. I hope they make it past the first round. I really do. But man, if I'm Kyle Dubas, I can't just say, oh, he promised. Okay, we're good. Yeah. Jack promised. Like you can't put your eggs in that basket. You have to go out. Mrazek has struggled as his backup. You have to get some kind of plan B, because Jack Campbell definitely makes me nervous between the pipes for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know who doesn't make you nervous is Shesterkin. We haven't really touched much on him.
Oh,
how strongly he's playing. He's not only got the Vezina locked, he's one of two or three serious heart contender nominations. You could easily win both. I found this interesting stat just a few minutes ago. There's a list of goalies in NHL history with a save percentage higher than 940 with at least 37 games played. Okay, it's a long list. So I'm going to read it. Jack Plant, Igor Shesterkin.
Jacques Plante.
That's the entire list. What he's doing is historical. And I just hope that it keeps up. It's really fun to watch.
The fact that he is just dominating this season, it's remarkable. It's not that the Rangers have like a dynamite defensive team like the Calgary Flames. He's a really good goaltender. How do the Rangers do this? They get Henrik Lundqvist out of the 10th round. They get Igor Shesterkin now. They are charmed when it comes to goaltenders. This guy is a good goaltender. He's only 26 years old. He's going to be there for a long time. They picked him up in the 4th round, for Pete's sake. So I don't know. Good for him, man. He should be in the conversation for MVP for sure.
I'm in like a pretty competitive fantasy hockey league with some buddies back home that goes back like 7-8 years now. And every once in a while, someone will like dig through like old transactions from like 5 years ago, just to like see who made a terrible trade and when. And someone did it this weekend. I traded Shesterkin 2 years ago for like an 8th round pick. And I think I ended up taking Jeff Skinner with that pick or something like that. So
no,
bad. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I don't even remember doing that.
Yeah. He's such a good player. He deserves to be the Vezina. And it's amazing that he's just already given the Vezina when Markstrom in Calgary is having a historic year as well. He just went 8-1 in February. 8-1 in a month, a goaltender.
He could end up with 10 shutouts by the time the season's over.
Like it's, and he's not even in the conversation for a Vezina right now because Shishurskin is having that strong of a season.
Yeah.
Like it's amazing. This like it's historic what's happening right now. I don't think people are talking about it just because maybe he's Russian. I don't know. Not because of the whole Russia-Ukraine thing, but he has been talked about all season long. I don't know why. He's been playing so incredibly good. But yeah, it's a good story. I like it. Very, very good. What else we got, Tim?
We had a listener question to wrap this up. You talked about men's league. You just did it at the beginning of this episode. But someone's asking, and usually when one person asks, it means there's a lot of people wondering this. You play men's league, and he was just basically like, does John not dominate? Like, is an NHL player playing with, like, these local guys? Well, how does that work? And so can you just, like, help us understand how it works when you play with these guys who are average players in a men's league? Like, how does this work?
Well, they're not average. They're good players. Some of them are college juniors. Like they're decent players. And just like my kid this weekend made it really apparent, I'm old. I'm 40 years old this year. So it's not like I'm some spring chicken. We're playing against kids who are 20 years old, right out of college, right out of high school, who are just buzzing around. So I'm not dominating by any means. I go out there, I can shut guys down. I can play lockdown defense, but it's not like I'm not a goal scorer. I was not a goal scorer in the NHL. I was not a goal scorer in the AHL. I was not a goal scorer in college. I was not a goal scorer in junior. I was never a goal scorer. You know, it's just not what I do. I'm not good at it. So yes, if I want to shut down a game and have nobody score, if I really applied myself, I can, but I don't dominate. It's hard for me. I'm 40 years old. So maybe 5 years ago when I retired, I dominated. I could go out and kind of do whatever I wanted, but I'm not that same player that I used to be. So it's tough for me. I actually play, my partner is Simon. I don't know his last name. I've been playing with him for like a couple of years now. He's a former pro guy too. And we can control a game, us two. He's like 6'5", silky, silky smooth mitts. And when we're out there, we're pretty unstoppable when we want to be. So that's fun. But gosh, some of these young kids, Tim, are just really good. Yeah. All they do is work on their hands and they buzz around. And it's like, I got no time to be chasing guys into the corner and like, really, they dump it in. I'm like, I'm not getting that puck. Like, no thanks. Go get it. I'll try to rub you out. But I just try not to get embarrassed. Speaking of embarrassing, Tim, points bet. We need to get back on track. We've been on a string of losses. I've been getting a lot of pushback from some fans. We need to get on the winning streak here. We even the tap-in last week. We lost the tap-in. The Toronto Maple Leafs and the Buffalo Sabres. I told you. It was a back-to-back. You didn't listen. Let's go. Let's get a perfect week here. 3-for-3. What are we doing tonight?
Arizona's beating Vegas. Buffalo's beating Toronto. It makes no sense.
Heads are falling off.
Yeah. All right. Should we go with like a gimme then? Does that even exist anymore?
No. Let's give people some meat on the bone. Let's give them some skin in the game. Let's get after it. Come on, Tim. I think, go for it. What is it?
New York Islanders are going to beat Colorado at home tonight.
Oh, my gosh. And here we are. Okay.
You asked for it. Sorokin's been playing really, really well lately. They're at home. Colorado's had a lot of games. I think the Islanders can pull this one off.
You hear it here first, everybody. The Islanders over the Colorado Avalanche. We're going to start this week off with a bang. Lock it in. Tim's going to just be perfect from here on out. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate the support. Glad we're back. No one's barfing today. Go give us a like, 5 stars. You know how it rolls. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.